everyone. Thank you for being here today. Again, my name is Van Mimi Chow. And so today I'm going to be talking to you about emergency contraception accessibility in Colorado. I do not have any financial disclosures. My mentor, Dr. Carol Stamm, is an Exponon trainer for Merck. So today I'm going to talk to you about the current laws pertaining to EC, or emergency contraception, or EC access in Colorado. And we're going to list some various barriers to access in Colorado, and then by the end of this session you should be able to describe the differences in access among pharmacy types and geographic location in Colorado. So just a bit about emergency contraception pills. The main mechanism of action is to prevent ovulation. You take it up to 5 days after unprotected sex, and it's a very safe drug in the sense that nausea is the most common side effect, and there are no medical contraindications. The main ingredient is progesterone, and there are 5 products out on the market today. There are also other forms of emergency contraception, namely the copper IUD and a different type of pill called the ulipristal acetate. But other than mentioning them here, I'm not going to talk about them much further. You need a prescription, or you need to go visit your doctor for a procedure to get those. So next we're going to talk about the legal history of EC access in Colorado. In 1999, FDA approved Plan B, and that's the brand name, emergency contraception. But it takes 7 years, despite its safety record, for it to become over-the-counter. And that it was only over-the-counter for adults over 18. And if you're under 18, you still needed a prescription to purchase it. 3 years later, it became available for minors over 17, so that age dropped 1 year. And then it wasn't until April of last year, 2013, that Plan B became available for everyone without an age restriction. And generics, which were available at the time, were only for people over 17. And you still need a prescription if you wanted to purchase generics if you were younger than 17. And then finally, in February of this year, generics became available for anyone without an age restriction. So if you and I were to go buy emergency contraception today, you should be able to find it on the shelf. No one's going to ask for your ID to purchase it. So it's accessible, it's legal. What's the big deal, right? Well, there are some barriers. And these are the barriers I like to call local barriers, because they happen on the ground at the level of the consumer trying to purchase EC in the store or at the pharmacy. And this first bullet talks about cost. So this study done in 2014 by Cleland shows that generics cost about $10 less than the brand, and that's only a 14% savings versus an 85% savings for other generic medications. Another barrier is just stock rates. This 2003 study done in New Mexico showed that out of 89 pharmacies, only 11% typically carried emergency contraception. Another barrier in rural areas and in parts of Colorado is the fact that there aren't very many pharmacies. So all of these counties in green are those that have no pharmacy identified, or the only pharmacy there did not sell emergency contraception. So that's 18 out of 64 counties did not have a pharmacy, or did not have a pharmacy that sold emergency contraception. And this study was done in 2010. So what we wanted to know was what EC access is like in Colorado today. So how did we do this? We did a kind of a telephone census of all Colorado outpatient pharmacies. There were 3 female callers, and we all posed as women trying to find emergency contraception. And so it was kind of like a mystery shopper method. And here is an image of our data collection sheet. And so we'd call the pharmacy, we'd ask them if they had emergency contraception in stock, where it was, how much it cost, etc. We had 690 pharmacies in our sample, and we stratified them by chain, independent, and 24-hour, and also their location in urban, rural, or frontier county. And we found all of these numbers in a phone book called Little Blue Book, 2014, and we excluded hospital, compounding, and pharmacies that were no longer in business. And so what we wanted to include was essentially pharmacies that served the general public. And since this topic is about geography, just a little bit about how we got our county designations. We took the definitions straight out of the State Office of Rural Health, and all rural counties are those that do not belong to a metropolitan area. So For those of you who don't know Colorado, here's Denver, here's Boulder, our two big cities. And then all of these light blue counties are considered rural. And these darker counties are frontier, which meant that there were six or fewer persons per square mile. And so those are all our frontier. Okay? So our demographics. Out of the 690 phone numbers, we excluded 57, mostly because they were out of business. That meant there are 633 surveys that were included in our analysis. And here in our table, you can see that most of them were urban. 85% were urban in urban areas. Also, 85% were chain pharmacies. And then we also took note of who answered the call when we, who answered the phone when we called. And about 60% were pharmacy technicians, and then the majority, almost 71% were female. So, and before I go into our results, we have some definitions. We defined in-stock as being having EC in the store and available for the purchase for purchase on the day that we called. And then complete access meant that emergency contraception was in-stock and available on the store shelf, and we did not need to present an ID or a prescription to purchase this. So here are our results. Okay, so on this side of the graph, you can see these are our in-stock rates. And it's good, it's quite high. About 87% of pharmacies had emergency contraception in stock on the day that we called. But yet, you look on this other side of the graph, and this is our complete access rate. Complete access is 23%, so it's very low, which means that the emergency contraception was still behind the counter. You still have to ask for it at the pharmacy, or they were asking an ID for us to purchase it. So that's 4 out of 5 pharmacies in Colorado did not have complete access. And these are our results according to pharmacy type. If you look here, these are our in-stock rates. The green bar is 24-hour, the red bar is chain. And so it's really high, 24-hour pharmacies, under 100% of 24-hour stores had it in stock. And then independent pharmacies is much lower. About 57% of independent pharmacies had EC in stock. And then if you look at complete access, it wasn't statistically significant among the pharmacy types for complete access, and it was still really low. And then if you look at geographic county designations, surprisingly, there wasn't a big difference. In-stock rates hovered around 80 to 90%. Among all areas of Colorado, and then complete access rate was still dismally low, around 20% among all areas as well. So there wasn't very much difference. And then this graph, we also looked at the local barriers that I talked about at the beginning of the presentation. So in this graph, we were trying to assess whether or not the pharmacies typically carried emergency contraception. So of the 83 pharmacies that did not have EC on the day that we called, we asked them a further question about whether or not they typically carried it. And then, so you can see here, chain pharmacies in red. Most chain pharmacies actually carried emergency contraception, and they were just out of stock on the day that we called. But independent pharmacies did not carry emergency contraception, and they did not typically carry it as well. So you're much less likely to find emergency contraception at an independent store. And then this is among rural areas, or among the county designations. And so our p-value here is 0.5, which kind of, there's not much difference among geographical areas in the likelihood of them typically carrying emergency contraception or not. So we also found 18 counties that did not have any pharmacy at all. And so all of these counties colored in gray, there was no pharmacy listed in our phone book. And this is remarkably similar to that previous map I showed you guys. And other than this county right here, Gilpin County, these are all considered frontier counties. So we also looked at generics. 60% of all pharmacies carry generic, and we also found about a $10 difference between the brand and the generic. You're more likely to find a generic in a chain or 24-hour store, but there was really no difference among geographic areas as well. Another aspect of Easy Access we looked at regarded education among pharmacists. So a new study done earlier this year by Cleland showed that this over-the-counter progesterone-only emergency contraception products was likely less effective for women with a body mass index greater than 25. And we just wanted to assess whether or not these pharmacists even knew what we were talking about, and if they could counsel us on alternatives. And when we did the study in June and July of this year, only 17% of pharmacists had any idea what we were asking, and then even fewer of those 17% could counsel us. We also had some qualitative data, and I took all the comments and I put it in this program, and I made a word cloud out of it. So we had 31 pharmacies that just downright hung up on us. We had one pharmacy tell me that they kept their EC in a locked office in their photo department. Some other surprising information was we found out that a lot of these pharmacies were putting the EC out on the shelf, but they were in lock boxes. And so it was just an unexpected barrier that we didn't anticipate when we started the study. If you consider this a barrier, it would probably take that complete access number down, that 23%, to even lower. Also, these unscripted comments really brought to light the general lack of education the pharmacists had to even the mechanism of emergency contraception. A particularly funny example that happened to me was I asked a pharmacist whether or not my weight would affect the efficacy of emergency contraception, and I had him tell me that all women have the same size uterus and the medication works in your uterus, so I shouldn't worry about how fat I was. Just take the pill and get on with it. And it's funny, but it kind of demonstrates that some sort of education is needed about contraception among the pharmacists. But not all of our encounters are negative. We had more than a few pharmacists just very compassionate refer us to Planned Parenthood, and they'd offer to order emergency contraception if they were out. We had a lot of pharmacists give us some great medical counseling and told us to follow up with our primary care providers. So it was good. Just to conclude, complete access in Colorado is just mired with these outdated legal and local pharmacy level barriers. And that's demonstrated by the fact that a lot of the emergency contraception is still behind the counter, and their outdated ID requirements, and that these still create barriers for women trying to purchase EC. And that these pharmacists are largely unfamiliar with these weight concerns, and they were unable to counsel us. The differences in EC access are most apparent between the pharmacy types, and the geographic differences are very minimal. But you still have to remember that access in rural areas is still very limited by the fact that there aren't very many pharmacies. So, and while our study was very comprehensive, we did all of Colorado, the survey was not validated, and so all this data I'm showing you is just a snapshot in a time, and the easy access world is constantly changing, so we still have to remember that. And then also we were only able to analyze responses that were provided by the pharmacy staff, in the sense that we didn't actually go and verify if the EC was out on the shelf or not. In our future directions, we want to understand why these pharmacies have outdated regulatory policies in order to reduce these artificial barriers and provide some education opportunities for pharmacists. We also like to compare our results with a similar survey done in Wyoming and then kind of guide future policy about EC access. I'd like to thank a whole bunch of people, a lot of them are sitting right there, who helped me do this. And these are also my references. If you have any questions, I'm really happy to answer them right now. Or
so we're doing well with time. Thank you for doing such a great job in sticking with the allocated time. So I think it is appropriate if we take questions now. Are there any questions?
Yeah. Yeah, so the question was about the lock boxes and whether or not I found that as a real true barrier. And I think, so emergency contraception should be freely accessible. It's like, it should be, it's over the counter in the sense that you could just buy it like you buy Tylenol. You don't find Tylenol necessarily in a lockbox. And I think it could be a little embarrassing, so there's the type where you have to go to the pharmacy and ask for the key, or sometimes it's like in an actual big plastic box where you take it to the counter and they kind of unlock it for you. And so if you're thinking you're like a 16, 17 year old girl, you might find it a barrier, I would think. So that's a good question, yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.